Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox. And coming up on the show, the Deshaun Watson rumors are back. And there is one team interested and potentially one team that's making a move very soon. We will break all of that down, and we're going to get some great knowledge from Albert Breer on the situation. We're also going to talk about a fan base that's not feeling too hot right now. And we have got boots on the ground always when it comes to the Dodgers, who now find themselves down 3-1 yet again to the Braves. Case Keenum is back. He is making his return to Thursday Night Football. We've got Wheel of Gambling in the world of college football, a rumor out there and some reports on a coach destination that doesn't make any sense whatsoever as they're trying to take your money, and another edition of the Prop Bet Monster. All of that is coming up next here. It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You know, right when you think the rumor was gone, it was dead, we were never going to hear about it again, it pops up out of nowhere in the NFL, and we will get to all of that coming up here in just a couple of moments from now. It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR.
You know, they say there's medication for that.
What's that?
That thing that just keeps popping up.
Oh, yeah, listen, from time to time, it does pop up.
hey, Brady, I'm just saying.
You need it to keep popping up, though, right?
Well, listen, it depends on who you ask.
I don't know.
And now we are going to be here until 9 a.m. Eastern time here on Fox Sports Radio, 6 o'clock Pacific time, like Brady likes to point out. He's more of a Pacific time guy. And we've got all sorts of fun stuff. We got a prop bet monster. We've got other shenanigans that are going to be taking place. We got the scraps. We got In Case You Missed It. And back by popular demand, we got ourselves a Deshaun Watson trade rumor. It is back, folks. The Deshaun Watson trade rumor is back. According to John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, no relation to John McClain from Die Hard.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson. I thought
they were cousins.
Yeah, they could be. I mean, Deshaun Watson, the rumor out there, get a whiff of this, is that the Miami Dolphins have re-engaged with the Houston Texans in trade talks, and there is a feeling that something could get done as soon as next week. The trade deadline is November 2nd, so we could have ourselves a Deshaun Watson to South Beach destination happening very, very soon. How about that?
Boy, is that the best place for him. I don't know.
It might be the best place for them because they yeah. actually might.
Well, they want.
I'm not going to go there.
No.
It's good for the economy.
It might be more acceptable to be the way he is.
Don't worry. The economy's booming here.
It's an essential business, you know.
It will be a place that I think wants him. That's the one thing he can be assured of throughout this entire process. If they are going to trade for him, whatever contingencies are within that trade, you know they want you. like this team's trading for you, taking on the risk that who knows what's going to happen through the legal process, at least in a civil court, maybe in a criminal court. So they are taking that risk. Like, that's a high desire of want and need or desire for you. So he can be reassured of that. Like, you can make the case, I don't know that there's a team that's ever wanted a player more than the Miami Dolphins and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Given this unprecedented situation that he's in and the fact that they'd still be willing to trade for him. And I got to be honest with you. I live in South Florida. This fan base, it's a front runner fan base. It's a fair weather fan base. They need something like this because they're down already onto it. Now, whether or not that's fair is a little bit odd. I mean, if you really look at this season, he started 2 games. The Buffalo game, he was in there for, I think, 4 pass attempts before he got knocked out. I mean, it's not like he's played that poorly. It's just, unfortunately, this team has taken such a big step back that there's not any excitement anymore, and they're not a believer in Tua or the head coach. And so you make a move like this. Now the problem is there might be some people who are still questioning the organization, but I think once Deshaun Watson will get on the field to play, would be a different story. The only question is then, LeVar, will he get on the field to play right away?
I think
he's
got to
get up on the offense. He's got
to
get up on the offense, but if you don't play him now, you risk that he might not play in the future, depending on the legal ramifications that he's under right now.
I think we know the answer to if he's going to play right away. I mean, I don't see how the National Football League would allow it to happen. I think their hand gets forced if this takes place. But let's take a couple steps
back. Well, hold on.
Let me push back real quick on that. Sure.
He's already on an active roster.
Yeah.
During a football season where – I mean, why was it if they dressed him for a game? He had to go in even as a backup.
Trust me on this one, Brady.
No. I trust you because that's what I feel like too.
And I'm saying trust me because I got it from the horse's mouth.
Okay.
That he is not going to touch that field.
Okay.
And once let me give it to you straight. Once he is put if the NFL is put in a position where they have to take action in the situation, they will take action. What they're trying to do is wait for the legal process to play out.
It will not play out till after the season.
We already know
he will not have to go under a deposition after the season.
So I'm just giving you the proper approach to the protocol of it all, right? We can rehash it, but I'm just telling you, end result, the NFL has not acted because they've not had to act. There's no reason to take any action because Deshaun Watson has not put them in a position to have to take action. If Deshaun Watson finds himself trying to get onto the field, the National Football League will take action. It will be decisive, and it will be quick. That's what I know.
Do you think it's kind of strange that the NFL is waiting for a team to make a move before they step in?
No, there's no reason. Nothing has happened with Deshaun Watson. Legally, nothing has happened. But it's looming. So the idea of allowing him to play, right, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Well,
so,
like I said before, though, the reality is he is on a roster. If this trade does take place, the Dolphins are trading for him with the intent to eventually play him. So the NFL would then have to put him on the exempt
list.
That's
correct.
Which my question is, why is he not already on the exempt list?
Because they've not had to do it. That's the simple.
I mean, again, technically, because he hasn't been active, but I'm just saying, there's nothing. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nothing has changed in the legal process or will change until either further evidence would come out, which would move something up,
mm-hmm.
or until he would have to then go through a deposition, go through all this after the season. So I understand the point you're making, but the point you're making has been the same for months now.
Correct.
And it's going to be the same for months now.
And the only way it would change is if he tried to be active with the Houston Texans. The only way it changes is if he tries to be active with the Dolphins.
It's not he. The team that's trading for him, because he wants to get out of Houston, is going to make him active. He's going to be on their active roster. It's just a matter of when they say, hey, we want to go in and play him. And so I guess the rumor of a trade to me for the Dolphins is a bit unfair. If they have to be talking to the NFL, they have to be saying, we're not going to trade for this guy if you guys are just going to throw him in the exempt list the second we trade for him and put a uniform on him and try to get him on the field. I mean, how unfair is that to the team then to make that move if they're going to handcuff him right away? Because legally, there's nothing the NFL can investigate or do to stop him or prevent him. All they've got right now are allegations, and they've got whatever is out there publicly, which, again, is nothing legally binding yet. So that's the interesting thing about this.
I'm not going to debate it. What I'll say is that's what I was told, is that they don't have to do anything because Deshaun Watson has not tried to get onto the field. So in proper context, Deshaun Watson said he won't play for the Texans anymore. Now, if the conversation became he wants to play and the Houston Texans wanted him to play, he would have been put on an exempt list. That's the way I got it. I can work through your assumptions, but it would be no good for me to do it because I'm just telling you what I was told. So
you understand it from the Dolphins side, right?
Well, you got to look at from the Dolphins side, are you getting him – if you're getting him to be a solution right now this season, then that's not a wise move for the Dolphins to do it because he's not going to touch that field. He is not going to touch the field. Until the legal process of what Deshaun Watson has going on, the NFL's hand will be forced if Deshaun Watson or the organization that decides they want to play him start the process of getting him on the field. Then the NFL will take action.
That's, I think it's such a bad look for the NFL. And in every possible way, if that's the move they want to make, and it's only because now he's with a team that would potentially put him on the field. I mean, like, we know what we know. They've known what they've known. What's changed?
Him,
just because now
getting
he's getting
on
closer
the field.
To the field?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's what I'm saying. If that's the case, then you're a hypocrite. Like, the NFL is a hypocrite, and it's one of the stupidest moves to wait to this point only because you now made a team. And granted, you could say, well, they're trading for Deshaun Watson for the future. He's under contract, yada, yada, yada. We don't know what's going to come from the legal process. We don't know what the future may hold. And the NFL could say the Dolphins or Stephen Ross, who wants to trade for him, right? Because if you're making this trade, the owner has to check off on this.
And that's been the rumor that Stephen Ross has been on board making the move the entire time. Like,
yeah.
Let's
so,
make the move.
So you're saying to Stephen Ross, who has been an owner that's hosted a Super Bowl recently, has been a guy who's done a lot of things that I think have been good for the NFL. They'll be back in the mix for hosting another Super Bowl. You know, it's just you're putting him in a terrible spot. Even if he says to you, well, I want to take the risk. It's like, well, then until something happens that would prevent him legally from not being on the field, you might as well let him go in there and play. And especially if you're the NFL and you want to see some more storylines or headlines, that's a pretty damn big one right there.
Again, unless something has changed since I've had the conversation, I'm clear on this. He has not been put on any exempts list because there has not been any attempts to put him on an active roster. If he goes into,
you got to stop saying active. He is on an active
or
roster.
In terms
they haven't
of,
put him into play. Yeah.
To put him into play. So
right.
touching the field.
Right.
Touching the field. He will not touch the field. And it's not for preservation of an injury. He's damaged goods if he gets injured. He's not touching the field. And once there's the idea that he may touch the field, then the National Football League is put in a position where they have to intervene. They are allowing the franchise to handle what they're handling. If they decide that they're going to put him on the field, that's when the NFL will take action. That's what I've been told. That's what I'm going to stick with.
See, I'm just surprised the NFL – maybe I shouldn't be surprised. I'm surprised the NFL didn't take the opportunity to be proactive and put him on the exempt list and just say, hey, listen, there's way too much going on right now until we have this cleared up. You know, he's not going to be touching the field. The fact that they need a team to make a move and they need him to be, you know, a potential starter or potential playing time in an actual game before they're going to step in and do this is just bizarre to me, man. It's another.
It's ugly.
It's weird.
They've done it with previous players where there's been less and they've known less. And they've put him on the exempt list immediately. That's what's ugly about this whole thing, is the way the NFL has opened up themselves to criticism by handling each of these situations differently. And I know they're unique in nature, but there's still a standard there. And I think for the teams, that's the frustrating part. And that's probably why he hasn't been moved yet, because they don't know what the NFL is going to do. And that unpredictability has kind of led us to this point now where, again, what's changed? In his legal stature, nothing's changed. Unless all of a sudden this gets settled here in the next week or so. And maybe there's a number out there that Deshaun Watson and his representation are talking to Tony Busby, who's representing all of the 22 alleged victims. And maybe they've got a number in mind. And so this whole thing's going to wrap itself up because they're getting closer to the trade deadline. Deshaun Watson wants to move on. The Texans want to move on. The Dolphins want to try to get him in their house. You know, if all those things play out, which would be a kind of crazy scenario, but I guess maybe that's on the horizon. Maybe that's what would change some things, at least from the NFL standpoint. Because if you settle all these lawsuits, at least that are in civil court of law, there's nothing legal to talk about.
Correct.
So the whole theory with the NFL and everything you just said kind of goes out the window. And so that's the only other, I guess, wild card that could be in play here, where maybe there's been a negotiation or offer on the table to settle all of this, and Deshaun Watson and his representation are like, fine, let's do it, write the check. You know, let's settle all of this. You know, maybe that's still out there.
I'm not even certain it's the civil suits that are the reason. I think it's the criminal. But that's just, again, that's just.
There was only one or two criminal.
Right, one
I
or
think,
two.
I think.
I mean,
yeah,
one is enough.
And that could have gotten dropped for all I know.
Again, I'm not up on the particulars of what the assessment or the assumption would be under the current circumstances of what's going on right now. If the NFL was put in a position where they needed to act, they would act. That's what I know. But
it's crazy.
Again,
man.
Just super quickly, I still think that this might be one of those things where the origin of this story came from Houston. So this could be posturing as well by Houston to be able to see what's really going to happen and try to figure out what they're trying to do with Miami as well. So that there's that as well. This isn't an article that came out of Miami. This is an article that originated from Houston.
Yeah.
And I think that that should be taken into consideration, that you're trying to put your feeler out to see if this is really maybe a legit idea or an option that can take place.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Discover. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted in 99% of places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen report, limitations apply. All right, coming up next. Is it time to panic? Are we officially at the panic stage for one fan base? We will get intimate knowledge and information. That's coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. We are going to hear from a panicked fan base. We are going to get a gauge as to how we are feeling here. That's coming up here shortly on Fox Sports Radio. Now, we have been discussing the Deshaun Watson trade rumors. They have sparked up again. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle yesterday brought up that the conversations are still happening between the Houston Texans, rather, the Miami Dolphins, about Deshaun Watson, and that there could be a trade done as early as next week. So Deshaun Watson could find himself a Miami Dolphin in one way, shape, or form. That remains to be seen. So
I think it's exciting.
Couple things to clean up. There's actually 10 criminal complaints. So
well,
it's 22 civil suits and 10 criminal complaints. It's less than I think was initially. But again, for those who don't know the legal process, the burden of proof is different between civil and criminal. Easier to convict in a civil case. But there's 10 criminal complaints and investigations by the FBI. That would be one of the things you'd be bringing on. And the other thing that I think you have to take into account, and maybe we can look this up, and I'm pretty sure this is the case. If you are placed on the commissioner's exempt list, that salary, if I'm not mistaken, is still a cap hit.
Yeah.
It's not removed from that salary cap.
That's correct.
So in 2021... Deshaun Watson's got a cap hit of $15.9 million.
Mm-hmm.
In 2022, which I tend to find a little more interesting, it's
$40.4
million.
Right.
And in 2023, it's $42.4 million. So back to the original statement, if Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins are willing to trade for Deshaun Watson, despite much of which will not be decided until after the legal process runs its course, which I do believe there's depositions that are beginning either now or in the future in coming weeks. But even then, as far as when he actually has to go be deposed and when all this stuff would wrap up, it's probably going to be after the season. And so if that's the case, not only are you taking on the rest of his salary and that cap it for this year, you are taking on astronomical cap hits in the next 2 years where who knows, depending on how the 10 criminal suits play out, only because that's what's ultimately going to deter him or take him away from being on the field. The civil suits will be one thing, and the NFL will then have to make their case for how they want to handle it. But that's not going to keep him from necessarily being on the field. It's the criminal, obviously. It's the criminal suits, and it's going to be that tied into the NFL's decision.
I mean, the whole thing is just bizarre, man. You would wonder. I know Stephen Ross, and you pointed out the Super Bowls, and longtime owner, and all that stuff. Do you think he's got some sort of a gauge from the league as to what's going to happen? Or is the league got to keep it so quiet? Do you think he hit up anybody?
I just said, how could he not?
Yeah, like that's...
Or how could the NFL not? That, I mean, Roger Goodell works for Steven Ross and every other owner of the league.
So they got to have conversations, right? I mean, off the record. That's why this whole thing... It's just bizarre how the NFL has either waited this long or is either just ultimately not going to do anything, and they've at least given them some sort of confidence that there's going to be something done here or nothing done here.
I think the best part of it all is we're talking about it, but we'll ultimately get an opportunity to see what happens. I mean, that's the beauty of sports, right? It's the same thing when you're preparing for the game. You strap them up, you lace them up, you're going to see what's going to play out based off of all the commentary and everything that's going to be out the door once the game starts, right? If this trade takes place, we're going to find out who's saying what, who's done what is what, and if things have changed, they may have changed. I think before we went to break, I think your logic was possibly sound in the sense that if there are conversations that are being had where these things are going to get settled and they are going to go away, I mean, why wouldn't the conversation? I don't think the conversation should be so much focused in on the National Football League. I think the conversation should be focused in on what is Deshaun Watson doing to possibly speed up how this plays out. And I think that that's something that, again, in a lot of ways, the franchises are going to be left to try to figure out things before the NFL has to get involved. If Deshaun Watson and his people figure out what they need to do and these situations go away, perceivably, and which could, I mean, maybe that happens in a reasonable amount of time. I think that that is more so what would be sensible to focus in on, because the idea of saying, well, they have to be in contact with the NFL. They have to have an idea that this is what we're going to do if we trade for him. If the circumstances have not changed in terms of what Deshaun Watson has going on, then the outcome is not going to change as well. So the minute he is about to become a guy that goes onto the field, the NFL will at that point in time take action with Deshaun Watson. And unless that's changed,
right? Unless that's changed, but what? So here's in the legal process, right? Like this is what could potentially change. So let's say he did settle the 22 joint civil cases, you know, then you might find some of those same accusers who dropped their criminal complaints. And that's where it all goes away. I mean, again, the burden of proof between the two is different. So that's one piece of it. But if there was any sort of settlement and you could make the case or you could make the argument that the reason why you would obviously file a civil and criminal suit is because you really want to put pressure on someone where you're going to take away their livelihood as well as, you know, their income. And it forces them to come to the table a little bit quicker if they feel like there's enough evidence where they'd be able to prove where, yeah, you could go to jail for this, right? I mean, this could be a serious issue. So you may have to take my civil suit more seriously as well, you know, if you want to settle and if you want this all to go away. So sometimes that's more of the strategy behind having an accuser who's going to file both. And see if they can get, you know, potentially both, right? If that got settled and those criminal charges got dropped, you know, then again, it's back into the NFL's court.
So now go ahead.
Well, you know, and I guess what's hypocritical to me from the NFL is to what you just said. Whether just because the legal process has changed, that doesn't mean what took place has changed.
True.
Players have been suspended without suffering any sort of legal discourse.
Yeah.
Without having anything happen from the legal system. They've been suspended 6 games. So back to my original point, where's the NFL been this whole time? Like, I understand there's certain things they won't be privy to until they can do a thorough investigation, which right now they're letting the legal process take course because the NFL or anyone else outside of Deshaun Watson and his representation, because no team's going to be able to, you know, they're not going to be at liberty to say. The court's not going to be at liberty to say. You know, no one's going to be at liberty to say until all these depositions become public, you know, once this would, you know, potentially go to court and once those things are out there for everyone to see. So because of that, like, they're not going to be able to find out more until after the fact, unless all this gets dropped, the NFL does their own investigation, which you would imagine would take some time. I mean, there's already been, to some degree, an investigation done, but not as thorough as it probably needs to be. So that's where I kind of look at it and go, either way, the NFL should have already acted. Like, I don't care if he's on an active roster and just because he hasn't wanted to go play or the Texans haven't wanted to put him in, it doesn't matter. You've already set the precedent countless times that he should have been on the exempt list right now.
Well, the NFL's been a little busy. They've been scanning through 650,000 emails, and they're trying to get to the
bottom of conduct that. An interview. Yeah. They interviewed victims. They interviewed at a certain point in time, a while back, they came to the conclusion of whatever they came to. And
well, no, there's a bunch of people, too, from the victim side that says it was quick and it wasn't necessarily as thorough as anything else. There's a ton of reports about whatever did take place.
Yeah, so. I don't want to get into speculating about what they did or what they didn't do. All I know is they did do an interview, and when they conducted the interviews, the consensus was it's going to play out, and if Deshaun Watson is in a situation where he's going to play, then the National Football League will take action from there. If there is no reason for them to take action while they're allowing the legal process to play out, then they're not going to take any action. I could sound redundant on it, but it just is what it is. But again, if this were to take place, if the Miami Dolphins do heat up to make this trade, I would first say I wonder if the NFL would allow it, if it would become public knowledge as to what the course of action would be moving forward before that trade is completed. I would be interested to know that.
The NBA has stopped trades. I mean, granted, it had more to do, I guess, with parity in the league.
Yeah. I would be interested to see it.
Why would the NFL step in and go, yeah, we're going to put them on the exempt list. Like, you know, hey, Mr. Ross, bad idea. This is going to handicap your salary cap because he might be on the exempt list for a long period of time.
I would be interested to see if it became public knowledge, public domain. Because, again, I don't disagree that, you know, the conversations are taking place. And maybe, like we said, the legal representation of Deshaun Watson may be in these conversations as well. And things are being facilitated based off of what the assumptions and the assessment of where everything may or may not be going. I don't know for certain. But what I do know is I would be interested to see, first and foremost, if this trade does heat up and it's actually something that is about to happen, how will the NFL handle that? And then it'll be interesting to see if a trade does get solidified, knowing what the amount of money that's connected to Deshaun Watson is, what do you do next once he's on the Miami Dolphins? And then the third part of that is what happens, what is the fallout or what is the response to whatever decision is made? If he's put on the exempt list or if for some reason I'm wrong and he's able to play, it'll still be interesting to see because either way, the National Football League, in some regard, and maybe even the Miami Dolphins, are in a compromising position. Because if it turns out that this guy is guilty of what it is that he's being charged of, that's not only a black eye for the National Football League, that's a black eye on that Miami Dolphins franchise as well.
Yeah. So we've had a number of players that have maybe fallen in a category there.
I just don't know that it's been this sensitive in culture and society with things like this taking place.
Sure.
I think that's the key.
We've been more sensitive to domestic violence in previous years. I mean, I'm not saying we're not now, but with the Ray Rice situation with the video and everything else, like people acted immediately, and anyone who was accused of anything of the sort without even the same evidence or documented was out of there.
Yeah, you're out of there.
And in a way, this is – I'm not saying it's necessarily – you know, domestic violence in that way, but there's definitely some potential wrongdoing and everything on the part of Deshaun Watson over and over and over again. Again, you would think this would be case closed, door slammed shut, like he's on the exempt list so they figure it out. Not the case. Back to the investigation done by the NFL. Here's the problem with that investigation. When the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, you know, comes in town to do the interview, the issue with that is you know, if you're an attorney for – if you're Tony Busby – and you're representing all these, you know, potential victims, alleged victims. He's not going to tell them to say anything because they're not under oath. They're not in a court of law. It's the NFL doing an investigation, right? And so that's the problem where they probably weren't able to get anything from that because they want to see if there's a chance to settle. They want to see if there's a chance to go to court. before they're going to let all the facts and everything come out. I mean, we've seen time and time again, can the NFL be trusted with anything? Of course not. Everything that the NFL investigates or gets out eventually becomes public, as we've just seen with the Washington football team. So if I was an attorney and I was representing these young women, I would say don't say anything because they can't be trusted. And until we get to a point where, you know, we're through the legal process or we have settled and we've exhausted all legal avenues, then we can talk more about all of this. But until that point, let the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse come in, do their little interview,
come on.
And then we'll move on. I'm just saying, that's what it looks like in comparison to an actual legal deposition or the FBI or someone else who's actually got some clout and some power in all this. NFL to these women aren't going to be able to help them.
Just to give a little bit of perspective, when everything happened with Penn State, the NCAA did no legal investigation. They did no investigation. They allowed the school to do it and trusted the results from the school. And so if you think about it, if you put it in a proper context, that would be the franchise investing their dollars to do an investigation.
Makes way more sense, by the way, at least in the sense for the Texans. Like, they're the employer. Shouldn't they be as curious as anyone else?
So I'm just saying, in terms of the NFL and them doing their due diligence is really to get enough information to say this is really bad enough right now for us to take action against him. If they didn't give the NFL what they were looking for in terms of protecting the information and creating what they're creating, then in the end, that's up to the discretion of the lawyer, the representation, and those victims or those alleged victims. But again, just to put it in proper perspective, you're talking about some serious ish that took place at Penn State, and the NCAA didn't even touch it. They did no investigation. Everything was left up to the school to do. And once the school did it, not only did they do the investigation with the free report, but then once the free report came out, they issued their own punishment, and their own punishment was then approved by the NCAA.
Yeah.
It was approved, but they issued their own punishment. So there was nothing that was done by the NCAA, the governing body of the school. So I just think that this comes down to a lot of details and really in the end, if Deshaun Watson is not in a position where this is ready to settle and they get out of it, I just don't think that the circumstances have changed. The NFL will get involved at the point in time of where they feel it's necessary for them to get involved.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up next, is there panic for an entire fan base? We are going to get to all of that. Yours coming up next here on FSR. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, the wonderfully talented Eddie Garcia.
Oh, thank you, Jonas.
How about that?
Appreciate it. You're always so kind.
How about those Dodgers? How about those Dodgers?
Come on.
We ain't heard Bert. Roberto's voice all morning.
Yeah.
Roberto's about to find some technical difficulties with Brady. Watch it.
Oh, come on, Eddie.
I'm just saying.
I'm rooting for him, too, man. I'm a company man. We know what's best for the company here.
Don't poke the Oso over there. College football, Appalachian State knocks off number 14, Coastal Carolina, 30-27. Last time App State won over a ranked team, you might remember,
Michigan.
2007 at the Big House against the Michigan Wolverines.
Yee.
Now back to Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox in the Fox Sports Radio studios.
Dexter Coakley went
Coastal
to App
Carolina.
State.
Some would call them America's team. You know, just riding the wave, man.
Yeah. By the isn't the sound drop? We need some dogs. We need to. Is that from a?
We don't need no cats.
I don't think that's from Chad.
We need more dogs.
I thought it was. Roberto, is that from the
Coastal Carolina? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that Chadwell who said it, though?
No, it's a different coach.
David Bennett.
Yeah, it's a different coach. That's what I thought. Yeah.
No longer coaching anymore.
We need some dogs. We need
You know what was great, though, in that play?
We don't need no cats.
The under.
We need more dogs.
The under was the play last night, all I'm saying. And by the way, tonight, take the over of SMU Tulane.
Well, I disagree.
I'm throwing it out there.
Yeah, I disagree.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
You would.
Listen, I disagree on that.
You guys are betting.
I'm just saying. Look, it's early in the morning, all right? We got some people going to work. They might be saying to themselves, I'd love to have a nice steak dinner, and I'll tell you how you go have that nice steak dinner.
Yeah.
You lay the over on SMU Tulane tonight.
Yeah, it's a good move.
I had Parmesan crusted chicken last night.
Oh, look at you.
It didn't have like the marinara sauce or anything.
That's okay.
We did it with a medley of vegetables, carrots.
You look good, healthy.
Vegetables are nasty.
Green beans, corn, and peas.
Roberto doesn't like vegetables.
I mean, a lot of people don't like vegetables, but
I love them.
It went really well with. Well,
do it again, Roberto. Vegetables are nasty.
Yeah, vegetables are nasty.
But Roberto, you ever seen Jonas bite into a raw pepper?
That's good, man. Raw bell peppers.
It actually is good. It actually is.
What kind of pepper, though? I've done that before.
Have you ever ate a steak tomato? Like juicy, thick, red tomatoes? You eat them like a fruit?
Yeah.
Steak,
it's good, man.
Steak tomatoes. Yeah. Anyways, we had mac and cheese on the side, too. It was baked.
Oh.
It was homemade baked. Oof. It was really good.
By the way, that's a food.
Phenomenal.
That is a food that I did not like when I was younger that I've grown to love. Macaroni and cheese.
But it's got to be baked.
Yeah.
Like, I don't,
100%.
I mean, you can go for the everyday, you know, whip it up in the bowl, in the pot, and it's runny.
Yeah.
But baked mac and cheese just hits very different.
Yeah, it's good, man.
It's just different.
It's really good.
Yeah.
You
put hot sauce on that?
Hot sauce on anything goes good. But again, a lot of people can't handle spice. LeVar and I can. A lot of these guys can't. Well, these posers.
I walk around with Pepsi.
Oh, really?
You don't want to deal with
LeVar, there's a reason Jonas has a squatty potty.
Oh, okay. Better believe it.
Those nights after the hot sauce gets.
Better believe it.
Put some hot sauce on my burrito, baby.
ran through me. Like a dog. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, coming up next, so we're going to check the panic level of a fan base. Also, a classic to open up the NBA season. We'll get into all that next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox here on FSR. Coming up top of next hour, about 10 minutes from now, we have got ourselves a familiar face making a return to the NFL. All right, he is back. This guy is back. We will get into all of that here coming up 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. Right now, though, it is time for something we do on the show called this.
Sometimes you can't get to everything in the world of sports or entertainment. Good thing the guys are here to bring you, in case you missed it.
And we turn it over to the great and powerful Lee DeLapp, our executive producer, to find out what the hell's going on. Lee?
That's right, you guys. It is panic time here in LA, in case you missed it.
Oh, it's not.
The Braves took a 3-1 lead over the Dodgers, in part thanks to Eddie Rosario's four-hit, two-homer night. Yeah. He almost went for the cycle. He's hitting almost 600 in the series.
I think he's Lou Gehrig.
What's wrong with that guy?
Spank City.
Hey, by the way, Roberto, though, aren't you going to be happy when it's over, man? Less stress. Yeah. You can just enjoy sports again.
I almost thought that Brady. He's like, "How you doing? I'm actually doing pretty good. I didn't drink that much beer yesterday. When I saw the score, I was like, I'm going to stop drinking." Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Berto.
Yo.
Do you still have any hope?
Yeah.
Oh, we had still hope.
We were down 1-3 last year, baby. We got it right where we want them. Same team.
All right, see the point
different.
Though. Like once it's
feels
over, you're gonna be so much more relaxed.
Oh, I'm gonna be way more relaxed. 100%.
That's all I want, man. I can't handle that stress. I just can't.
Way more relaxed.
Yeah. But upset.
Yeah.
Relaxed and upset.
But we're being completely honest. Yeah.
And the other thing is, Roberto, didn't Jonas or someone said like there's an asterisk next to the Dodgers World Series?
Never. They still gave a trophy. So if there's no asterisk on the Astros trophy, there's no asterisk in the Dodgers World Series. So.
Listen, I'm not here to try and start
fights.
Did
they win in a COVID year?
It wasn't COVID year. It wasn't COVID year.
They still gave a trophy. So
60 games.
That still counts.
I mean, it seemed like
the Astros still get a trophy for cheating. So they still Dodgers still count.
I mean, the LA teams excelled in COVID years. It's just kind of weird how that worked out.
We still got championships, so it's all good.
You know, know sore losers always blame other people for their own misfortunes.
That's true.
You know, the Astros. You know, as long as the Astros.
Bunch of cheaters, yeah.
You guys said L.A.
I mean,
one
by
time.
The way, cheaters. Speaking of the other series, Astros looking good.
Yeah, they do.
Look
they're
good.
Cheating, that's why, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Why would you stop cheating if nothing happened? If you didn't get in trouble?
I actually saw a detailed rundown of, like, the quote-unquote cheating, and they actually hit worse in those instances where they supposedly were cheating.
Yeah, they're cheating. Man. Yeah, my Astros.
Sam Valdez had Vaseline on his side.
Oh, man. Here we go with the Vaseline.
Hey, well, first of all, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, let's just.
Jonas puts a lot of Vaseline.
Yeah, he does.
Nothing wrong with a little lubricant.
Keep your eyes above the belt here, folks. All right, Lee, what else we got?
You guys, the Knicks hosted the Celtics for the season opener at Madison Square Garden. Kemba Walker's debut there. And it was crazy final seconds of the game. 2 3-pointers for the Celtics in the final 5 ticks. But the Knicks emerged victorious in double overtime, 138-134.
Man, Madison Square Garden, when it's rocking like that, is awesome. It plays out so well on TV. Was there a venue you guys ever played at that when you went there, it just felt different as opposed to playing anywhere else?
By the way, that has more to do with the New York fan base, you know?
Yeah, no.
That's what it has to do with.
But the atmosphere, where was the place you played where you went, man, this atmosphere is just different. It's different here than anywhere else. Okay, what road game?
Oh, sorry.
I thought Michigan was always fun to go to because, like, it's hard for people to get in and out of, so they just pack in there. Everyone's drunk. They're nasty. Like, it's a heated rivalry, at least with Notre Dame and Ohio State. Like, that's what I grew up with and played against. Like, that's just – it's a fun place to go. It really is.
Wisconsin is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Camp Randall.
Ridiculous. It's the most ridiculously different environment. That Iowa environment was pretty crazy,
that was
too.
Cool.
Insane.
That was cool.
Well, pretty listen, insane.
But no matter what, we are.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.